I'll try to get, not keep you too long. If I get kind of nervous, I'll talk a little fast. We might have a few minutes at the end. So I'll try to do my best here. Today's lesson, the title of the lesson is Giving the Best. And because God gave his best to us, we should give our best in everything that we do. Now, the little slide I had made up for me, it has nothing to do with Halloween, so I don't really like Halloween, so. But there is a point in that slide. And when we read these verses here, you'll understand what that is. But the focus verse today is in Ecclesiastes. We've been in Ecclesiastes for a little bit here. But it's chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And the scripture text is found in Ecclesiastes also 9, 1 through 10. And I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I may read it to you in the New Living Translation, because there's some things in there that just brings it down a little bit easier for us to understand. But it says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred, by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For this is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, and there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And then I'm going to read it again in the New Living Translation. And the title that they have in at the head of this is "Death Comes to All." Now, that's not what we're talking about today. But it says, "This too I carefully explored. Even though the actions of godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor. The same destiny ultimately awaits everyone, whether righteous or wicked, good or bad, ceremonially clean or unclean, religious or irreligious. Good people receive the same treatment as sinners, and people who make promises to God are treated like people who don't. It seems so wrong that everyone under the sun suffers the same fate. Already twisted by evil, people choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. There is hope only for the living. As they say, it is better to be a live dog than a dead lion. The living at least know they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, nor are they remembered. Whether they did whatever they did in their lifetime, loving, hating, envying, it's all long gone. They no longer play a part in anything here on earth. So go ahead, eat your food with joy and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves of this. Wear fine clothes. This is interesting how they translate this. It says, wear fine clothes with a splash of cologne. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Whatever you do, do well, for when you go to the grave, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. So, again, like I say, the title of this lesson is Giving the Best. All right, so we're going to talk about what it is to give our best, okay? So we have to give our best in whatever we do because, you know, like this little slide has a couple open graves there, you know, there may be rich person on this side, poor person on this side, there may be a wise person on this side, a not so wise person on this side, but they all go to the same place, you know what I'm saying? Unless, you know, Jesus comes back and we don't have to worry about that situation, but, okay, that's the end of us all. Okay, that's just the way it is. So what we do and what we do for God, we need to do it with the best of our ability, with the best that we have, okay? There's a little piece out of a paper that they gave us in this lesson, and it's from a guy by the name of Joe Francis, and the little paper he wrote is called A Trillion First Responders. And says it's the largest security force in the world, a teeming network of first responders that live on nearly every surface of your body, inside and out. They're not part of the body, like your immune system. They're immigrants, but they're still naturalized citizens, and without them, your world couldn't function. Since the Human Microbiome Project began in 2008, biologists have begun to uncover just how closely your body relies on these semi-autonomous partners, where they come up with these words, I don't know, in securing your well-being. From the skin to the lining of the intestine, the trillions of bacteria and viruses that make up your own personal microbiome keep you safe from invading diseases. Someday soon, scientists hope to train them for new roles, like fighting cancer and providing early warnings of infections. So our American scene here that we live in, it boasts many, there are many heroes. And these people, you know, where it comes from, but they quickly jump to action when something goes wrong, you know. When a chaos strikes or a tragedy strikes, there are people that jump into action and they do something. But the greatest cause on earth, which is the kingdom of God, should evoke the best from all believers, all right? We're not fighting a fire. We're not rescuing a drowning person, or we're not quelling a riot, okay? Believers are called to be two things, salt and light, in a world that's filled with pollution and darkness. We should go where there is sin, devastation, hurt, pain, and heartache, responding like the amazing first responders of our body's immune system. You know, we all know what happened that day, that fateful day, you know, in September, 17 years ago, or however long it was, 16 years ago, whatever. But, you know, there were people that did things that were beyond them. There were people that jumped into action that were just people like you and I. They were just employees. They were just people that they worked with. And they put those people ahead of their lives. There were people that rushed back into that building and brought people down time and time again and lost their own lives in the process. But there, you know, there are just people like that. I don't know. I don't think you really know until that circumstance comes up what you're really going to do, you know. But we've been called to be his hands and his feet. And that's really the only answer that this world has. Jesus Christ is the only answer this world really has. So in looking further into this topic, there's this little story here about a man and his family who purchased their first home in a city several hours away. Been there, done that. And before the family could move into the new house, the father visited the home to get everything in order. The father stayed late at the house, working on setting up things, and nothing seemed to be going right. Frustrated, the man went to get a drink of water, and that's when he noticed a small puddle forming on the floor under the refrigerator. He pulled out the refrigerator to check on the source of the leak. So it was far too late in the evening to call anybody, so he spent a fitful night worrying about whether he'd made the right decision. Did I make the right choice buying this house? You know, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of sometimes what we do. And so he's, you know, in his mind, boy, life is just so unfair. I don't know why. So why had the refrigerator caused such a problem? Well, the next morning he found a nice, honest repairman to fix the refrigerator. And it was then that he realized life was much fairer than he thought. The repairman told him if he had not noticed the small puddle under the refrigerator, he might have had a much more serious problem, like an indoor swimming pool in his basement. The water from the refrigerator would have ruined two floors in his house. So there are many times in life that we become frustrated by problems. Has anybody besides me ever felt that way? Okay. That's part of life. Okay. That's not anybody or that's not God picking on you. It's just part of life, you know. It's just things that we have to go through. But He is, however, looking out for us. All right. He allows some minor issues to occur in our lives to protect us from even greater difficulties. Sometimes the Lord allows bad things to happen to us. But even then, we should be careful about calling life or God unfair. After all, we receive numerous blessings from the Lord, and we should be thankful for them. Now, this brings up an interesting point in my life. I was talking to Sister McBride and trying to figure out about how long ago this was. They say there's a couple things in life that you lose first when you get old, and I can't remember the second one, but if you know. But anyway, we figured out it was somewhere around 25 years ago, but I was on my way to work one morning, and we lived up on a hill, and I guess the driveway was, I don't know, it was pretty steep to get up the driveway, and it was out in the country. We just loved it and all that. But I had this old 83 Chrysler Fifth Avenue. It was just, I think it had 30,000 miles on it when I got it. I bought it for $3,000. It was a nice car, but, you know, young and dumb, you just kind of like don't take care of things very well. But as time went on, the car got older. And I was on my way to work one day. And I just turned out onto the two-lane highway, and the rear end of the car locked up, okay? So there was this wide spot in the road, all right? And it was the only wide spot in the road. Well, you know, you just have to force the car over. Well, I get out, and that morning, for some reason, I'd not worn a jacket. So, and it was kind of this time of year, I think, it was kind of September, October, it was starting to get pretty chilly up there. And so I get out and I'm walking back, and I mean, it was probably a good half a mile from where I was. And I'm just mumbling the whole time, just complaining, just mumbling. And cars would go by and I'm like, I'm freezing to death. You know how the wind will go by. I'm like, why didn't I wear a jacket this morning? Well, you know how. And so I'm trudging up this hill. Trudging up our driveway, just complaining, just like, man, I can't believe, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I get about halfway up the hill, and a thought comes to me. And it's like, what would have happened half a mile down the road if this would have happened and there wasn't a place to pull over you may be head on with somebody. You don't know. I just felt like at that moment that was kind of God bringing me back into perspective a little bit. And I told God then, I said, you know, I don't want to complain anymore. Because how many of us have been through experiences like that where we don't know what's on the other side? We don't know what's on the other side of a situation. But I just feel like maybe one of these days, when we make it to heaven, I don't know if our understanding will be opened or what all is going to happen there. That remains to be seen for all of us. But I just wonder if there's going to be some kind of a book or something, you know, and God says, look, I protected you from this. I kept you from this. I kept you from this. And it's probably going to, it would, if he would do it now, it would probably scare us to death, really. You know what I mean? Because there are so many things. He's so good, is he not? He does so much good for us. Whenever we face difficulties in life and feel the Lord is unfair, we might become upset with God. Nevertheless, we should realize that God's blessings are just as unexplainable as some of these things that we go through. Why is the Lord so good to us? I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know that. You know, he's just good like that. Me? Do I deserve that? No. I don't deserve him to be that good. I've had people at work come up to me and say, what do you know good? Excuse me. And I'll say, well, I know God. And I said, nothing else really matters, you know, because it doesn't. Nothing else really matters. God is just good. The psalmist, he wrestled with this in Psalms 8 and 4. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. When you think about it, God being who he is, why did he even think about me? Why did he even give me an opportunity? You know? We should be thankful that we do not serve a distant creator, all right, who cares nothing for us. We should be thankful that our God didn't set life in motion and then withdraw his blessings from us, or become disinterested in our plight or anything that we go through. God not only cares for us, but he gave his best to us, and he gave his best for us. The Lord heaps benefits upon us that we do not even deserve. And when we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to save us from our sins. And when we complain about being treated unfairly, we should remember the injustices that he went through. He experienced, what happened to him? He experienced a bogus trial. He faced jeering and mocking people. He was spit on. He was beat. And then he died a horrific death, despite being innocent. And he did it all on his own. He laid his own life down. He says, he told us in his word, I laid my life down. He endured the cross so his goodness could lead us to repentance. The Bible also says he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. His death on the cross purchased our salvation. His sacrifice allows us to repent of our sins and to be baptized in the name of Jesus and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These blessings would be, or should be, more than enough for us. And yet the Lord continues to provide for us. He continues to provide us food. He continues to provide us shelter and opportunities to improve our lives. Not all the time it's easy. Not all the time it's easy to go out there, get up every morning and make yourself go to work and make a few dollars to go buy some groceries so you can sustain your life a little bit. But I just personally believe all that stuff comes from God. I just believe my job comes from God. There are a lot of times when I'm going through stuff at work, and it's a pretty stressful job at times, and deadlines and all this kind of stuff, just seems unfair. And there's some times where you just wonder, man, I wonder if I should just go look for another job. I wonder if I should do blah, 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 you know. And I don't know. You're kind of in that valley of decision. But then God brings back to your mind, you know, your boss pays you pretty well. He treats you pretty nice. He is pretty fair. And then I get to thinking, you know, that job's providing for my family. That job allows me to give to missions. That job allows me to help send some of these little kids to on a trip or something. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of brings me back a little bit. So you got to kind of think about the whole situation. And then when you put Jesus on top of that and what he went through and everything he did for me, it makes the little bit of suffering that we go through, you know, not even suffering, right? In Psalms 84 and 11, the psalmist wrote again, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." When we follow his leading, the Lord will bring blessings into our lives. The good things God provides for us are even more amazing when we think about our sinful nature. In Romans 7 and 18, Paul wrote, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good, I find not." So, you know, God's will is within us. What he wants us to do is there. You know, he's given all that to us when he saved us, when he filled us with the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says that we would have power and all that. So that will in there to do something good for him is there, but we got to wrestle all the time. We got to fight that, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if, like, you know, I fought that a little bit this week, knowing I had to get up here and do this. But we can do whatever we can do with God on our side. Amen. And as humans, we often give in to our flesh because we find it difficult to do the right thing. There have been a few instances in the, I guess confession is good for the soul, but there have been a couple instances in King where I've had an opportunity to just outright pray for someone. And I'm a little bit, I guess, introverted, I suppose you'd say, but there's a lot of times I talk myself out of stuff, all right? I'll just be honest with you that way. And we've talked about this in life group a few times. But I had an opportunity here, I don't know, a month ago. There was an elderly gentleman that I'd gotten a little bit into the arts, trying to paint a little bit, you know, artistically. And I found this guy in King. He's got this business that he does framing and all this. And I had an issue one time with a painting, and he fixed it for me and all this stuff. And we got to talking, made friends and all this. And I just went up one day. I just felt impressed to go visit him. I hadn't seen him for a while, and I walked in, and he came out. And he'd just come out and just start talking. And he's got this little rocking chair, sat down there with you and talk. And he started talking to me about his little grandson, 4-year-old, who had, he was autistic, and he got away from him somehow, just that quick. And they hunted and searched and hunted and searched and hunted and searched and found him, and he had drowned. And you could just tell this guy had a need, okay? And all the time he's telling me this, I'm like, right now's the time, Mike. Right now's the time. Right now's the time you need to. And I just let him keep talking. Well, you know how conversations go a little bit. Well, it kind of went away from that. So the whole time we were trying to finish up talking, I was trying to look for another instance to break in and mention, you know, can I pray for you? I just felt that. Well, here's how I did it. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll go home and I'll talk to my wife. And I said, we'll have special prayer for you, and we'll pray. And I'm like, you know, that was pretty lame. You know, that was pretty lame. So that's just me. All right, so I'm working through some of that introverted stuff, but there are times when God brings things like that to us, okay? And we need to jump on those opportunities. We need to, you know. We need to jump on those opportunities and give God our best, because we got to realize that He gave His best to us. He gave His best for us. Amen? So, it's a little part of my life. When Jesus came to earth, His purpose was not only to die for our sins, but also to set an example for us to follow. In the Gospels, we see Jesus going about doing good, helping and healing others. On the road to the cross, when we see Jesus exhibiting the right kind of behavior during this intense adversity. The Apostle Peter wrote of Jesus' example for us, "When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." Whenever we think about lashing out at others because life seems unfair, we should remember the example of Jesus. He gave His life for us in agony so that we might have joy throughout all eternity. How could He endure such a horrific death? How could He do this for me? His love for us allowed Him to overcome this death, even the death of the cross. So, you know, we all have heard the scripture, John 3:16, you know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, so many times we hear that, and we just hear that. You know, we need to not take that scripture for granted, okay? It's commonplace amongst a lot of people, right? It needs to not just become a cliche. It needs to really get down in our heart. He gave Himself for me. He loved me enough that He gave Himself for me. He went through all that stuff so that I could be blessed, right? We're commanded to give our best. And I found, I had this other section of scripture come to my mind that I wanted to read, and it's found in Revelation 5, just three verses, and it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" It says, "And I beheld," I saw, "and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne." And it said, "And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. It's at 100 million. And then it says, "And thousands of thousands." So who knows, you know. Just countless number. Just saying, "Worthy." You know, that's what they do. Okay? That's what they do. And here I am. Okay? What should I really do different? Right? It's like Jesus gave his example of giving His very best should inspire us to do the same. We cannot allow ourselves to become complacent. You know, there's many opportunities that we have here to do things. And I know there have been times when I probably haven't given my best. I've probably done about halfway. Well, I got through that one. We're going to have an outreach this Saturday. So you kind of go knock on doors and you put something on the door and you get through the little bunch that you have and you're like, made it through that one. You know what I'm saying? And don't tell me y'all haven't all felt that. I know you have. I'm not the only one. Some of you just thrive on it. Now I wish you'd give me some of that, but. And I appreciate that, those of you that do. I really, kind of am jealous in a way. But when I think about it, there are many opportunities here, right? So God's given me the ability to play music. So when I go up here and play music, you know, we look at our song list and we say, oh, we're going to do Blessing and Honor today. Well, okay, you know, we've done that about 3,000 times. That shouldn't be too hard. But we can't be that way about it. You know what I'm saying? There's hundreds of millions of angels in heaven giving him honor and giving him glory and giving him, you know, I should stand up there and every time I pick up that bass, it should be like it's a brand new song. I don't care if we've done it 3,000 times, okay? Whenever we get up to do an offering, you know, those of us that have that opportunity, we should do it like it's going to be the best offering that's ever been taken, you know. Whenever we get up here to do a Sunday school lesson, we should do it like it's the best thing we could ever do at the time. You know what I'm saying? So we should really put ourselves into what we do. We should allow God to use us in those situations. And I really believe he will. If we do our part, he's going to do his part. There's many times in the Bible where it says, if you will, I will, right? If my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, then I will, you know, different things like that. He's faithful to his word, okay? He's not going to take one part of his word and do one thing and then not take another part of his word and not do it, right? So he's faithful to his word. We should examine ourselves and make sure that we're putting forth our best efforts. We should also realize that the wisdom there is in giving our best. Okay, cutting corners today will lead to problems in the future. And that's true. I go back, I've had a lot of time to contemplate and think about, you know, wish I'd have put myself a little bit more involved in certain areas. And that's why I appreciate so much this church allowing our young people to really get involved, because, man, it's just putting something into them. It's really settling something down in their hearts, and that's a good thing, because when you get to be 55 years old, you know, you don't have a whole lot of years left. I hate to be, you know, that's kind of a depressing thought, really, when you think about it. But, you know, when you were 20 years old, it was like you see somebody that's 55 or 60 years old, and you think, man, that's old. That's somebody, that's old, you know? And it's like, now I'm him, you know? So it's like, you know, 15 more years, I'm going to be 70 years old. That's just hard for my mind to imagine. Dee and I were talking last night. It's like we think about friends that we went to school with, and we think those friends are still 20 years old. That's how our mind thinks. It's like, man, I wonder how they're doing. And then you look at those folks, and it's like, man, they're 55 years old too, you know? So it's like, it just happens, you know? What's it say? Time and chance happens to us all or whatever, you know? So anyway, we really need to do our best in serving God, whatever we do, whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's teaching some of these young little kids in Sunday school class, which we've had the privilege of doing, and it's been a super joy, you know? We're taking a little bit of hiatus from that just because our folks are getting older and we're wanting a little bit extra time to be with them every now and again. So it's just made everything easy for everybody, I think. But has anybody in here had an opportunity to play Little League baseball? I know I have. Nobody? Brother Bruce? Brother Jerry? So one thing that baseball players are taught is to run out a grounder to first base, right? Now, why would you put all your effort in trying to make it to first base when you hit the ball to the shortstop or something? Why would you do that, Brother Jerry? Seriously. Why would you run your hardest? Well, what if that shortstop overthrows the first baseman? You just made it to first base, didn't you? So they teach you to give your best, okay? I'm sure the Army and all that, they teach you to go for the guts. They tell you to go for it. And there are reasons for all that. When I was, 10, 11, 12 years old, I played Little League. And I played the outfield. And my last year, I was a pitcher. Well, I played outfield the whole time that I was in Little League, 3 years. So the first game of the season on my last year, the coach comes up to me and says, would you like to pitch? This is the first game. We've already had our practices. And I'm like, I don't know. So he said, well, let's go out behind the dugout and you throw me a few balls and we'll see how it works out. So I threw him a few balls and he said, I think you can pitch. This is the first game, mind you. So I get up and I start pitching. Struck that guy out. Start pitching. Struck that guy out. I threw a no-hitter on my first game. Never pitched a ball in my whole life. Played outfield the whole time. But you know why? I gave it my all. Right? I gave it my all. So when you give your all, you can do things that you not normally can do. All right? So I'd like to relive those days back again. That'd be pretty good. We should approach life with the mindset that we're going to give our best, even when something seems like a lost cause. We're getting close here. We should make the most of our opportunities while we're here on this earth. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 again says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Once you're finished working and your time is over, it's over. You're not going to be working anymore. Okay? You do what you can do while you got the time to do it. You know, work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. You know, you hear the old farmers say, make hay while it's day or whatever it is there. You know, you can't, you gotta do what you have to do. My dad was a great example to me of being a hard worker. He was a brick mason and laid brick and block all his working life. He's 81 years old now, and he can still lay brick and block if he wanted to. He just don't want to, and which I don't blame him. That's a pretty hard job. I was a laborer for them when I was in high school and coming up and in the summers, and worked you to death. And if you weren't doing something, he was always like, you can be picking up brick chips. You can be picking up these pieces of block, piling them up somewhere. You can be moving around the other side of the house, setting up scaffold, getting ready for us. You know, he always put that in you. You can be doing something. So there's always something that we can be doing for God's kingdom, no matter what. Okay? You know, you walk up the aisle and there might be a piece of paper laying on the floor. Not that hard. You know, reach down, pick it up. That's what my dad would have told me. You know, if you got something here that's got to go over there and you're going from here to there, pick it up and take it with you, even though that's not your job, right? Just do it. And it just helps everybody else out, right? So we just need to learn to do our best no matter what we're doing. You know, there are some here that really give, you know, come to church on Sunday here and then have to rush and have another service real quick. And then some of us get the privilege to go to King, and some of us get the privilege to go to Taylorsville. And so there's something to be doing all the time for God's kingdom. And it's best if we don't let that just become, well, we're going to have life group this Friday. It's just another life group. It's not just another life group. We don't know who's going to be there. We don't know when we're going to pray for someone and their headaches is going to be gone. Right, Brother Craven? That's happened. And we got to do everything to the best of our ability. We got to let God really take us and use us. And we got to take that time to just think about what he did for us is so much farther, so much greater than the little things that we do here. You know, he's got so much waiting for us. He has so many blessings for us that we just need to do our best. Amen. So we're like just a few minutes here. I'm going to go ahead and be finished and let you mill around a little bit. But last time they were peeking through the door telling me to be quiet, so I'm going to let you go. But God bless you folks, and let's give God our best. You know, when we get ready today to sing, man, sing. Just belt it out. Make it like this may be the, like Brother Bibb said, this may be the last time we're here. We don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen. So let's just give it our best. Amen. God bless you.